Some time ago, during my daily Bible study, there's one thing that drew my attention like never before. It was questions that Jesus raised in various settings. So I decided to further study his questions of why. Interestingly enough, I found more than a dozen places in the four Gospels where Jesus raised the question of why. So when I planned my sermons for summer, I decided to do a 10-week series on the question of why raised by Jesus. So if you have noticed in the past couple of Sundays, two Sundays ago, I talked about Jesus' question, why do you worry? Last week, we talked about why do you doubt? So today is the third of that series, and we are going to hear Jesus saying, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? You know, one of the things in the Bible that I believe we can be easily confused with is the word to judge. And here's why. In one place, Jesus commands us not to judge, like today's text. Do not judge. In the other place, however, the same Jesus says, judge what is right. Even the original text in these two different contexts use the same Greek word, krino. To make things worse, the translators use the same English word to judge in different, totally different contexts. No wonder you and I are confused. Now, sometimes, with the desire not to judge others, we give up on the occasions that we must judge what is right, that is to discern and make a right decision. So this is my prayer and hope that my two sermons in the next two Sundays, today, Jesus says, why do you judge? And next week, why do you not judge? These two sermons will clear out some of our questions and practices on the word to judge in the Bible. So let me begin with a standard definition of judge as verb in the dictionary. I looked up in the Oxford Dictionary, and it lists five different definitions of the verb to judge. The first one is this: give negative opinion about somebody. Number two, estimate. Number three, form opinion. And number four, decide the results of a competition. And last, number five, decide whether someone is guilty or innocent in court. So today, I'm going to focus on the first definition, like give negative opinion about somebody. Now, before I go further, I'd like to clarify three things. The first one is this. Question of, should we never judge? Christ commands us not to judge in today's text. Therefore, does it mean that we should never judge? Is every act of judging bad? The answer, it depends, and I would say no. Some of our judgments are good and others are bad. Once again, it boils down to what we mean by judging, doesn't it? Judging, in my humble opinion, is a part of normal human life. We cannot entirely avoid it. When God has created humans, he placed in our brain something called reason or mind, so that we may use it in our daily lives. Every day, as we interact with people, we interpret and we evaluate and we form opinions on their characters and qualities and words and actions, so that we may respond to them appropriately. We just have to judge right. Here's the second thing I'd like to clarify. I discovered in the Bible two types of judging. The first judging I would call righteous judging. The second type I would call self-righteous judging. What I mean by righteous judging depends on, based upon Jesus' words in John chapter 7. Jesus here, communicating with the Jewish folks there, he commands them to judge not by outward appearances, but righteously. There we go. He started the righteous judging there. Did you know that God of the Old Testament in the Proverbs chapter 31 verse 9 says this, "Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Leviticus chapter 19 verse 15 says, "Judge your neighbor fairly." There we go. The examples of righteous judging. So righteous judging means to discern between what is right and what is wrong, between what is good and what is evil. It is also an act of testing the spirits to see if they are indeed from God. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. You know, today we are so much bombarded with so much information. Speaking of Google, so many information and, you know, all these things. And it is your responsibility and mine to discern what is right and what is wrong. And that the Bible calls it, test the spirits, see if they are from God. Even I encourage my congregation all the time, you don't have to take my word for it every single time or blindly follow. That's what Pastor Choi says, therefore it must be right. No, you have to bring your, you know, testing the spirit, that sound judging, and test against what the Bible says. Okay? That's what it is, righteous judging. And also, the scripture says, every spiritual person judges or discerns all things. Paul the apostle even urges the members in the Corinthian congregation to make a right judgment. The saints will judge the world. And these are the examples found in the Bible that we, as believers in Christ, need to do sound and righteous judging day in, day out. I told you the second type of judging I would call self-righteous judging. This is that we need to avoid by all means. Now, this is the kind of judging some believers are guilty of, and so am I from time to time. And I'm going to give you an example. What do I mean by self-righteous judging? You know, Jesus was using the story of two men in Luke chapter 18. Two men just went to the temple to pray one day together. The first man he calls a Pharisee. Who was the Pharisee 2,000 years ago? They were religious leaders. You can say today's term, priest or pastor, whatever. The Pharisee back then, they spent all the time they have studying the word of God and teaching God's people with the word of God. Okay, they were leaders. So one Pharisee went up into the temple, you know, to pray, and the second person who went at the same time was a tax collector, modern day IRS man. Not bad nowadays, still we try to avoid them. But back then, tax collector was no-no, because they were treated as traitor, betrayer of your own people, because they are collaborators. They worked for the Roman Empire, okay? Exacting on their own people through taxes. So people pay the taxes to the tax collectors. However, the rest of their life, they say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And they called the tax collectors, you sinners, in public. So imagine this, in the same temple of God, two men went up to pray. The Pharisee lifting up his hands up to the heavens and looking up to heaven and said, Father God, thank you so very much for your blessings. I fast twice a week and I give tithes to you and so forth in out loud and in public. Everybody hears. The tax collector standing at the corner of the temple, and he was afraid someone would recognize him and start calling him sinner and so forth. He was just, you know, bowed down here and just quietly praying to God, beating his chest, Father, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. The prayer of the Pharisee continues on. He says, Father, listen, Luke chapter 18 says this, thank you for making me not like this tax collector. It was part of his prayer. And that's what I would call self-righteous judging. Now, this reflects the attitude of considering oneself better than and higher than the rest of us. Thank you for making me not like this tax collector. And as a matter of fact, this attitude is the opposite of Christ's attitude of humility. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 says this, Christ being equal to God, emptied himself, humbled himself, and became a human being. Can you imagine being equal to God, creator status, all the way down and just, you know, incarnation means that into human flesh, he became one of us as a creature. I try to understand how different it is. And I try to empty myself, lower myself, and just becoming an ant. Mike, this is for you. Are you listening? Ant-Man? Okay. And I'm still comparing between two creatures. Human being become an ant. Lower myself. But can you imagine creator becoming a just creature? That's attitude of humility. Therefore, what is self-righteous judging? It just puts yourself above everybody else. And that's the thing that we must avoid by all means. The last thing I want to clarify is this. The word of judgmental. Judging and judgmental is two different things, folks. Here is another definition from the Oxford Dictionary. What does it mean to be judgmental? I quote, judging people and criticizing them too quickly. Well, some of us are guilty of this too. Judgmental attitude makes us too quick pass judgment on others regarding their faith and practices. Here's another example. One day, Paul the Apostle, 2,000 years ago, heard about one congregation. And the concern was they're debating and they're fighting over on the matter of food. What kind of food? The meat, red meat they're, you know, buying and sell in the marketplace. And the concern was that there are two parties in the congregation. And one party says that, you know, this meat we're buying and eat from the marketplace, okay, it was sacrificed to the Roman gods, the idols. Therefore, as Christians, we should not either buy or eat this red meat because it was offered to the idols. By just eating this, we are participating in the idol worship. Therefore, we should shun every type of red meat. The other part of the congregation said, no, you know, did you hear what Paul taught us when he was with us? He told us that it is okay. Because when you say a prayer before you take any meal, particularly red meat, your prayer cleanses everything, including the meat dedicated or just given to sacrifice to the idols. Therefore, you have freedom to eat whatever before you. So they were debating on all these things, and they finally came to Paul and says, just please help us on this. And Paul says this, you know what? Each other, you know, each party should respect each other's faith, okay? And therefore, you should not be judgmental on this. In other words, quick to, you know, just criticizing them too quickly. Now, based upon all these three things I mentioned today, I'm going to just tell you what it means to not to judge. Three things very quickly. What do you mean by, you know, I do not judge? Number one, Christ's command not to judge involves, number one, stop being self-righteous. You got the idea. Number two, stop being judgmental. You get the idea. Number three, stop condemning others like God would. In other words, do not play God. Here's another beautiful story for you to keep in mind. In John chapter 8, Jesus was in the temple again one day, and a group of men brought a woman who was caught in the middle of adultery. And they're asking Jesus, what do you say about this woman? According to the Mosaic law, we are to stone her to death. And each man was holding a stone in his hand. And Jesus didn't say anything. He just stooped down and started writing with his finger on the ground. And the man pressed him hard. What do you say? Should he stone her or what? And Jesus stood up and says, if there is no one, if anyone without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her. A beautiful, beautiful story. And everyone, from the eldest to the youngest, they walked out one by one, dropping their stone on the ground. And Jesus says to the woman, What happened to everybody? Where are they? Did they condemn you? And the woman says, no, sir, nobody did. And Jesus says, neither will I. Go in peace and sin no more. The story tells us, do not judge means stop condemning others, because God is the only judge. So based upon this, I realize judging is necessary, but risky at times. Sound and righteous judgment always help us, but sometimes we all make a mistake and wrong judgment. And this, I'd like to share my personal story. I'm not proud to share this, but it happened, and I think it fits what I'm talking about. In my previous congregation, one afternoon, I was working in my office, and my secretary went home for the day, and I always keep my door open whenever I work in my office, okay? So I was working, and there was a gentleman just peeking into my office from the hallway, just head inside, and I looked at his face and never seen him before. He was smiling, and my initial thought was, oh no, not again. That was my thought. Why? Because I was living next door to the, you know, church. Parsonage and the church is like 10 yards apart, okay? So quite often I have visitors to the parsonage asking for monetary help and so forth. Now, I'd like to say that most of them are genuine, but the opposite is true. Most of them are, you know, just conning. And I was a victim of several times of, you know, conned. So the initial thought when I saw the strange face peeking into my office was, oh no, not again. And second later, when the gentleman showed up his entire body, he was a UPS man. Seriously, I was so ashamed. In a split second, you see your brain making a quick judgment. And wrong judgment after all. You see, judging is a normal and necessary part. Yet the Bible warns us the natural tendency to judge others in a wrong way. And that leads us to today's text. I'll be very brief. In today's text, Jesus warns us three things, particularly the following. Number one, beware of human tendency. Inclination to overlook our own faults, yet criticizing others' problems to the max. Isn't it what we are? We are very quick to find others' faults, and at the same time, we are amazingly good at overlooking our own. I'm speaking about myself, folks. We find a speck in another's eye, yet ignore a log in our own eye. How conveniently if we forget the truth that our own faults are larger than those of others. We observe and study carefully and criticize other problems big time, yet very kindly overlook those of our own. That's number one warning from Jesus. Beware of your tendency. Number two, accountability. Here, Jesus acknowledges the need of accountability among his followers. He says in verse 42, take the speck out of from brother's eye. So we need each other's, you know, help to correct our faults and shortcomings and weaknesses. And if you read Matthew 18, Jesus says this, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you, and if they listen to you, you have won them over. So accountability should be done. However, how do we do it? That's my third point quickly. Do it charitably or lovingly. Jesus teaches us here the right order to do the accountability amongst us. He says, pay attention to your faults and weaknesses and shortcomings first, and then focus on others' problems. Work on and remove your planks and logs first, then you'll be able to see clearly. The original meaning of see clearly is this, have your eyes come into focus. If you ever, I've never done it, but I heard people saying that how wonderful it is after their cataracts removed. So it's something like that. See clearly, and then you can help the fellow believer. Once again, the right order of accountability is this. Pay attention to yourself and see clearly and remove. Self-examination, clear focus, and help others. not pay attention to other problems first, because it causes friction, unhealthy judging, and tension and error, and even further, divine judgment on ourselves. In a nutshell, Jesus commands us to practice accountability with each other. However, when we do it charitably and in the right order, which is work on your own faults first and help others. So next week, we'll consider this time Jesus' command to judge for ourselves what is right. Now, that's my sermon this morning.